Good to see everyone out this morning. If you want to go ahead and open your Bibles to John, and we're going to begin off looking this morning at John chapter 15. And we'll be coming back to John 3 in just a little bit later in the lesson. But John chapter 15. And beginning with verse 1 down to verse 17. As we continue looking at a lesson on growing together, and Jesus goes on to take an opportunity to be able to teach a lesson concerning growth and concerning some things being able to work together. In John chapter 15, verse 1 down to verse 17 is where we will begin this morning, where Jesus says here, John 15, beginning with verse 1, says, "I am the vine. I'm the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You're already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone is unable to, does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. They gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I choose you and appointed you, that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another." You know, we're always wanting to focus on being able to grow together, which is always a good thing. We never want to plateau. You know, sometimes when we talk with individuals, well, they want to plateau. They want to kind of, once they get to a certain point, well, that's it. I've done all that I can, and that's it. I remember when we were over a little bit further west of here, in Indiana, we had a situation where an older lady, she had just retired from her job, put in all her time working, and then all of a sudden, well, I'm done. I've retired and everything from my physical work. And then all of a sudden, well, I'm retired from my work as a Christian. Everybody else can be able to do everything else. I'm just going to sit back, take my ease. And we never want to get to that point. We never want to plateau. As we have opportunity to come together, to be able to grow together, as we have another breath of air in our lungs, we have opportunity to continue to grow. That's what God has blessed us with. You know, it does matter. And some people say, well, you know, as long as we're, you know, it does matter in how we grow. As we look at our passage here, as we look at John 15, verse 1 down to verse 17, that it does matter how we grow. Many say it won't. Many say it doesn't. Or we can do things our own way. When we grow as Christians, we have to be supplied the right way. Where does it come from? Well, as Jesus pointing out, he says, "I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. We are the branch who Jesus is speaking to. We're looking to grow together through the Word." And Jesus goes on here to be able to teach about these things, of how we can be able to grow, but also gives a clear warning if we choose a different path or if we choose not to grow. So let's examine this and look at some different components here this morning together. Where Jesus, first of all, says that He is a vine. He is a true vine, and God is the vine dresser. We look there, first of all, in verse 1. We look and see and understand that God is the one that planted the vine. Now, Brother Charles read for us just a few moments ago from John chapter 3, verse 16 down to verse 21, that it was God planting the vine, and it was through His Son that He planted this true vine. We look in how God loved us enough to give His Son as a sacrifice for our sins, has given us all the opportunity for salvation. So we look, God has planted, Jesus Christ has given this vine through Jesus Christ that we can be able to believe in Him. Now that belief is just not just a simple acknowledgement. As we look at verse 17 down to verse 21, a lot of people want to quote verse 16 and kind of leave it as it is. But as we look at verse 17 down to verse 21 of John chapter 3, we point out that there is a need for our works, for our actions. That belief is not just simply just a simple, yes, I believe. It's putting our faith, yes, our belief in there, but also our actions together. And Jesus has been supplied as the true vine that we'd be able to believe, that we'd be able to obey. And that was the plan in the beginning. You know, as we look here, Jesus is the vine. God has planted you. Jesus is the vine. God has planted this vine. And again, it is through Jesus Christ. We see the relationship that the vine dresser and the vine have. As we go over to Matthew chapter 28. If you'll turn there with me. Matthew chapter 28. Consider those last few verses there in that book. Matthew 28. Verse 18 down to verse 20. Matthew chapter 28. Verse 18 down to verse 20. Matthew chapter 28. Verse 18 down to verse 20. Where Jesus came and spoke to His disciples, to them, saying, "All authority has been given to Me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." God gave Jesus Christ all authority. And as we look at that, Jesus goes on to say there, "It's been given me on heaven," or in heaven, "and on earth." There's nothing left. As we were talking this morning, kind of a similar understanding of the completeness of man, being able to love man with everything, as we were talking Bible class this morning. As we look here in Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus was given all authority in heaven and on earth. There's nothing left. We have no, Peter's got this authority. Paul's got this authority. Other men have this authority. The councils have it. No. She said, "I have authority. Concerning my Father's kingdom, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth." God has supplied that authority. As we think about this, God goes on to say in Matthew 17, verse 5, as Jesus was transfigured on the mount before Peter, James, and John, God comes in that cloud. And in verse 5 of Matthew 17, He goes on to say, "This is My Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear Him." We see the interconnection between the vine dresser and the true vine in Jesus Christ being the true vine and God the Father being the vine dresser. Both, as we look together, are one. Over in John, if you'll turn there to John chapter 10. And in John chapter 10, we're going to look at some more of these verses in John 10 in just a little bit. See, if you want to, you can keep a thumb mark there. In John 10, in verse 30, Simply put, as Jesus comes to the conclusion here, he says, I and my Father are one. Again, we see the relationship, and I want to point that out. I want to point out the relationship between Jesus and as a vine and God as a vine dresser, to be able to understand how we can grow together. Because both are one together. We see where God is working through Jesus. God sent Jesus Christ to come into the world to give His Son as a sacrifice, and His Son was willing to obey and do His Father's will. Now, something else as we look at this, kind of understanding some of these different components of how God is the vine dresser, Jesus is the true vine. Well, guess what? We're the branches. As we look there in John 17. Let's point out, first of all, again, against popular belief, we are the branches, not the vine. Not the vine dresser. As some would like to presume, we'd like to be able to believe that, you know, we're in a different... No, Jesus says, we are the branches. You know, as we think about this, Jesus supplies, as branches, Jesus supplies what we need as a vine, as Jesus being the true vine. He supplies the branch. As the vine supplies the branches, the ability to be able to produce, to be able to grow in real life, Jesus is trying to give us an understanding of this relationship of Him being the vine. We are the branches. In order for the branch to survive, the vine needs to be attached to it. Again, we talk about becoming one together. If you go back to John chapter 15, we read this just a moment ago. John chapter 15 and verse 7. As we look at the, you know, as we point out about the oneness or the togetherness of God and Jesus, now we see where how we fit into the scheme of it all, where we need to become one together in a similitude of being able to know what it takes to be part or to have the supply coming from the vine. Through the vine dresser. In verse 7 of John 15, if you abide in me, he said, I'm a true vine. If you abide in me, you're the branches. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Becoming one together, seeing this working relationship together, we see where growth can be able to begin again as we get the supply from the vine. We do things within His will, as we look over in Luke chapter 11 and verse 2. Again, as we look at this, Jesus clearly states that we're the branches. He says it in a few different occasions, a few different times, there in John 15, verse 1 down to verse 17. There is a closeness. Again, it cannot be said enough. There is a closeness that we're supposed to have. Christ is in us. We are abiding in the vine. Christ is in us. Christ is helping us and supplying us what we need to be pleasing to God. And we will take it to heart. He said, how is this going to be accomplished? How is this going to work? You have to abide in my word. We go back to John chapter 1 in the beginning where Jesus was pointed out as He was the Word. In the beginning was the Word, as we look in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. We drop down a few verses in John 1 where the Word became flesh and blood. Jesus was that Word. Jesus has supplied us with what we need. He has given us His teaching, He's given us the doctrine, He's given us what we need to be able to be pleasing and acceptable and obedient and fruitful to God the Father. We've got to be able to abide in the doctrine. We've got to be able to abide in His Word. And we see that relationship continuing to stand. We see that relationship continuing to grow. We see all the components working together, and we see the benefits of it over in 2 John in verse 9. In 2 John, turn with me if you were there. Verse 9. 2 John, verse 9. Where Jesus says here, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. That doctrine that can be with us. And us with God, we see the relation. We see where we can reap the benefits of this. If we will abide in the Word of God, we will abide in what Jesus said there in John 15. Here again, we see that if we abide in the doctrine of Christ, we have both the Father and the Son. Again, we see that togetherness. We see that closeness. And when we abide in the true vine, and we are the branch, and we are going to be able to be fruit bearers, being able to do what we can in service of God. So now let's talk about this growth. Got two options. We kind of grow or we be cut off. We have to love. Now we were talking about that this morning. Ed was mentioning that in the greatest command that Jesus gave, that we're to love God with everything and we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. Christ has shown us an example of love. And it is up to us to let us, being the branches, be supplied by the vine, to be able to grow fruit, to be fruit bearers, to bear precious fruit. You know, as we think about this, some people will kind of just make one assumption and say, well, you know, that's what this fruit is. Fruit comes in various forms. You know, as we look at the Bible, and I want to just address some of these and talk about how we can be able to bear fruit. Well, it comes in various forms. First of all, you know, we can look at the fruit of the Spirit over in Galatians chapter 5. Let's look there. Galatians chapter 5. We talk about the personal aspect. We talk about the fruit that we can be able to grow within us, to be able to grow as better people. Over in Galatians chapter 5, we consider verse 22 and verse 23. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and verse 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. We talk about personal growth, personal fruit that we can be able to grow within ourselves, being able to enhance those things. We see that Paul goes on to write, there is no law. You're seeing all this goodness, seeing all these beneficial things in our life as Christians, and seeing what they can do for us as Christians. See this fruit of the Spirit working within us. Now there's another verse that I want to look at. Talk about our personal faith as well, over in 2 Peter chapter 1. Heard that you were there, 2 Peter chapter 1. And beginning with verse 5. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 5, and we can look down to verse 11 together. 2 Peter chapter 5, or chapter 1, beginning with verse 5. It says, but also, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. About our personal faith. Again, we talk about kind of similar to the fruit of the Spirit, but we see where we add to our faith. You know, again, we're growing. You know, as we become Christians, we don't automatically have all these things. We work with these things. We grow and develop these things. I don't know anybody that comes out of that water, when they become a Christian, that they're automatic, you know, they'll never stumble again. We are trying our best not to. But I think it's safe to say that we've all maybe stumbled a time or two in our life. We're not perfect creatures. We have a perfect example to be able to follow in our life. But as we grow, as we take this day by day, we add to our faith? Virtue. Maybe we can go from faith to virtue. We go from virtue to knowledge. We go to self, but we continue to develop these things, working together, growing together. How about our personal fruit of growing together? But there's other ways of fruit. How about what we're doing here today? We've come together. We've sang some songs. We've come together. We have opened up and studied God's Word in a class setting. We're opening and studying God's Word this morning in a lesson. How about we have taken time and opportunity to be able to partake of the Lord's Supper together. We have taken time and opportunity to be able to pray together. We're growing as brethren together. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And let's look at verse 26. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 26. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 26. How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a song, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation, let all things be done for edification. Now I know as we look at some of those things have ceased to exist. But looking at the general aspect, you know, we're talking about singing, we're talking about teaching, we're talking about being able to do what we can to be edified together. The bigger picture of it all is to be edified together. We are growing together as we come together to worship God in spirit and in truth. It's good for us to be here and come together in these opportunities. And what we do in our worship, let it be done for our brethren, with our brethren, that we may grow one another together. Talk about fruit. Again, we could talk about reaching out to the lost. Over in Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and verse 16, Jesus goes on to say what part of our role is. And in Mark chapter 16, verse 15 down to verse 16, Jesus goes on to say, Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and verse 16, just go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. We're talking about reaching out to the lost, trying to do what we can for others that may not know God, that have not obeyed God. We do what we can to be able to offer the gospel message to them, to be able to share that gospel message with them, offering the hope of salvation through the gospel. We try to do what we can to be able to gain more for the Lord. We're being fruitful in our ways. You know, we look at all these different ways. Talk about personal faith, talk about growing as brethren, being fruitful as brethren, reaching out to the lost. There are many different ways that we can be fruit bearers. And I'm not saying we just need to focus on, we try to do what we can in all these different aspects. Sometimes we might be a little more successful in others, in some than others. But we can grow. We can be fruit bearers. We can grow together in these various ways. We can grow in Christ. I mentioned we would come back to John chapter 10. And I want to go back there now. To John chapter 10. And we want to consider verse 24 down to verse 30. John chapter 10. Verse 24 down to verse 30. John chapter 10, beginning verse 24. As the Jews surrounded him, said to him, "How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe, because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. God and Christ are one. He said, those who are mine, we being those branches, Jesus being the true vine, those who believe and follow and obey will be blessed. This is how we grow. By believing and following and obeying Jesus Christ. Obeying the Father's will. Jesus has shown us a perfect example on how we are to follow God. Becoming one through God in Christ. Growing together through God in Christ. And God, as we look at this, God is that true vine dresser. What will He do? As we are fruitful, as we are bearing fruit for God, He will prune it. That way we can be able to bear more fruit. And something we can be able to handle. We're never in a situation where we are not able to handle. Oh, let's look at the other side of this. What we choose not to grow? What we choose to plateau? Well, as we look back in John chapter 15. In John chapter 15, verse 6. Jesus said here, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. They gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. So we say, well, we don't need to grow, or we can plateau, whatever it may be, or we can say enough's enough. You can be like that foolish farmer as you look over in Luke, in that parable where he had tore down his barns, built the bigger barns, and said, now I can just sit back and eat, you know, eat and drink, be merry. You wouldn't think about God and his soul is required. We choose not to grow. Jesus says here in John 15 and verse 6 that if we choose not to grow, we're going to be cut off. We're going to be cut off from the vine. We're cut off from the vine dresser. If we choose not to, we're going to be cut. We're going to be thrown away. We're going to be cast aside. And we're going to be burnt. When that branch is cast aside from the vine, it's useless. It doesn't have any value. It's not going to be fruitful in any way. We've got to be able to be supplied by the vine. We've got to remain intact with the vine. We've got to abide in Jesus Christ and His Word. So as we have opportunity, we're to grow together. Or else we'll be cast aside. Separated eternally from God the Father. We have the ability to choose. The choice and opportunity is ours this morning. We have opportunity to love as Christ has loved us. If you look there in John 15, verse 12, He says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. You know, as we look there from these last few verses, from verse 9 down to verse 17, Jesus goes on to point out, we should no longer look for being servants, but looking to be friends. A friend to Jesus, as we look at this, is one who does what He has asked, what He has commanded us. We have an example, not only here, but of another person known as a friend of God, over in James 2, verse 23. Abraham, who when he went and did what he did, following God's commands, having the opportunity to be able to follow God and offering His Son as a sacrifice, even though I know as we look at the story, God had interjected and not allow Isaac to perish. But Abraham followed the commands of his father, of God's father. And as James reminds us, he was called a friend of God. Christ has died for us. He has offered us an opportunity to be able to be made whole with Him. Had an opportunity of a friendship with Him. Had an opportunity of Him being our true Savior. We have to do what He says. We have to do what He says and be able to answer that invitation. Oh, we look forward to having that hope of heaven when this life is over. But we got to do our part here on earth to be fruitful, to grow together, and to work together. For those that may have not are ready to do so this morning and are ready to obey God, are ready to answer the invitation call, we want to offer that now. For those that have not yet obeyed God and are ready to become a Christian this morning, the invitation is plain and simple. You need to be able to hear the gospel message. Romans 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You've got to be able to believe in that message, believe in the gospel message. If he said in John 8, verse 24, if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. You've got to be willing to repent. Luke 13, verse 5, if he said, I tell you no, unless you repent, you will perish. We've got to confess our belief that Jesus is Christ, he is the Son of God. In Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, confession comes from our own mouth. We've got to confess that our belief in Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God, confess it for men. And we can be baptized for remission of our sins. If there's anyone that needs to answer the invitation call today by having their sins washed in the waters of baptism, we want to offer that now. But George, just like that invitation song is, where we're going to sing in just a few minutes. If you're ready and are accepting the invitation and ready to answer the invitation call, all things are ready. You can come and become a Christian this morning. Maybe this morning you realize that you have not been faithful to God. Maybe this morning you are a Christian, but have fallen away and are ready to make your life right with Him. We want to extend the invitation to you to be able to come forward, ask for forgiveness of your sins, and repent of your sins. Make that transformation once again. We'll be glad to offer those prayers of forgiveness on your behalf. Whatever the case may be, if you are subject to the invitation, ready to answer the invitation call, we want to exhort with you and plead with you to please let me know how we can help you. You can have a seat on the front. You can do it now. Walk together while we stand and while we sit.